Welcome to the Excel Pod.
Welcome to Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show. I'm Garrett.
I'm Corey.
And we are in Philippians chapter 2 in the middle of this study, talking about being like Christ in chapter 2, verses 5 through 11. We talked about verses 5 through 6 last episode. Today we're going to discuss verses 7 and 8, which says this. He's in the middle of a sentence here, but he says, "But emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found as in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross."
Okay, so he'd been talking about how that he was equal with God, Jesus is equal with God, but he didn't think that that was something, that equality with God, a thing that needed to be held onto for dear life. Instead, verse 7 says he emptied himself. And that what yours said as well. Most, I think, English translations have it something like this. It's kind of a unique word in the original language. It's only used five times in the New Testament. But it means to make of no effect or lay aside. So he, when it says he emptied himself, it's saying he laid aside the privileges that he had as being God. His prerogatives as being God. He didn't quit being God. He just laid aside those rights that he had, that position that he had. And again, this is all because he's this ultimate example of others before self. He gave up all of that for a time so that he could become man. If the penalty of sin is death, and you have to have a perfect sacrifice, someone perfect is God. But God can't, how you kill God? Well, you've got to let God become man, and that's what he did. And he did all of that for us. And then he, as extreme opposite as you can get, he was God, is God, but he laid that aside so that he could take on the form of a slave.
Yeah, that's a, by the way, that's a crazy way to define that word. I mean, it's an accurate definition, but just the whole, hey, you know, the part where I'm literally equal with God, we're just going to forget that exists, you know, kind of thing. But not only that, it would have been enough if he would have just said, okay, well, I'm equal with man, or even that I'm going to be king. Like, if I can't be God, I'm at least going to be the most powerful man. But he goes to the other extreme, taking on the form of a bondservant. This is somebody that, you know, would have been very lowly.
Submissive.
The opposite of a king.
Yeah. Has to be obedient to another.
Yeah, he's beyond servitude here, because he's putting himself under everybody else. You know, like I said, it's complete opposite from being in the form of God to taking on the form of a bondservant in verses 6 and 7. And I think that's the point that he's making, is that it's an extreme. He went from one extreme to the other in a very literal way, because he's setting that aside for our sakes, which is ultimately this example and why he's brought up here of putting others before self. It's a deep and personal example of putting others before self. Nobody did it like Jesus did, and that's, I think, Paul's point here.
Yeah, to be obedient to another is what the job of a slave or a servant. And so from the ruler of the cosmos to being servant to all. And then in verse 8, he says he was in human form. What does yours say there at the beginning of verse 8?
It found an appearance as a man.
Yeah, found a human form as a man. In other words, he took a step down. He took on flesh. We talk about the incarnation of Jesus, meaning that very thing, that he took on flesh. And he humbled himself. How? By taking on the form of a servant. He humbled himself by becoming obedient, because that's what slaves do, is they're obedient, even to the point of death. He was obedient. If you would, look back at John chapter 6. Is that where you're already going? Read John 6 and verse 38.
Yeah, this is something that he constantly pointed to and pointed out. This was his attitude throughout his ministry. But John 6:38 says, "For I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And then verse 39, "This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that is given me I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day." His will was not to accomplish what he wanted. His only purpose, and he points it out here in John 6 and many other places, was to accomplish God's will. And so he had the correct perspective throughout his ministry and throughout the temptations of not fulfilling God's will and all of that. But, you know, he had this perspective that I'm not here for me. I'm not here for anything other than to accomplish God's will. And what that takes is humbling myself. And that's exactly what he did.
And he gives these two phrases of how far he went in that. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. So he's going to be a servant to be obedient. A servant that would be obedient even to the point of dying. That's a next level servant. Yeah. And then the form of death on a cross, which is about as harsh a way to be put to death as there was. So there was no limit to his obeying.
Yeah, you put kind of this idea, when you go back again to John, you see him praying in the garden just before his arrest. And, you know, that's what he prayed every time at the end of that prayer. "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but yours be done." Obviously, he didn't want to go. There's no way he wanted to go through what he went through. And he could have prevented, based on the power that he had, he could have prevented what happened to him. But, again, he's praying to the Lord with that same humility and that same perspective of, you know, ultimately, your will is what's going to be done. And beyond, after he's arrested, through that whole scene up until his death, we never see him question God's decision. We never see him second guess his own decision. We don't see him, in that mental state again, because, you know, he's accepted that this is what has to happen, mm-hmm. and I'm okay with it.
And so think about what Christ gave up for you and me. We have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. So the only way that God could be just would be to punish sin, our sin, by death. But God is also not only a just God, but a loving, merciful, and gracious God. How can he be just and still have love, mercy, and grace be attributed? Well, it's by providing the sacrifice for us that we need. Mm-hmm. Romans 3, 25, 26, 27, right in through there, that's what he talks about, is that's the only way that he could be both just and justifier. There's no other way but this. He spends a lot of time in Romans 5 talking about this. Jesus relinquished his privileges of being God to become a slave for us. That's the mindset that Paul is saying that we need to have in the church, mm-hmm. is that we ought to be willing to give up everything to be a servant to everyone because of others before self. Is that important in the body of Christ?
Yeah, and that's Paul's wish for the church, Philippi, and, you know, it's obviously applicable today. Is that, you know, in the same way that he humbled himself, was completely obedient, set aside his deity in a way to become a servant, he says, have that same attitude. And you can do a lot of good for the kingdom, and you can set aside a lot of things and accomplish God's will if we have that same attitude, that it's not about me. It's not about what name gets put forward. It's not about who gets the credit. It's not about so many of these things that we like to put emphasis on. It's about accomplishing God's will, which is what Jesus was about, and that's what we need to be about as well. We hope that this has been a good study for you, something that you can study again in your own time and dive deeper into the book of Philippians. But we are grateful that you spend this time with us every day, and we will see you tomorrow on Scripture Spotlight, where the text is the star of the show.